Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I do think, though, that that whole thing with Jay-Z last night is one more example where Jeff Capel gets it. He understands it. He gets it. That's the language that kids speak, basically. And, you know, the fact that he can go into recruiting, it's not one of these things where it's going to be the reason why he gets a kid, but it is going to be the reason why, in general, he's able to get into some houses maybe he couldn't have, because the bottom line is he's probably viewed as a young, sort of hip, in-touch coach. And you know what? That's important nowadays. I think, you know, it's everything, especially when you're trying to build a program and get on the map. I said before, I thought what was really great about last night, and I actually wrote about it today, the atmosphere last night was incredible. For, you know, at least the you know, 10, 20 minutes before the game. Actually, let's go a couple hours before the game. I can't remember the last time that I went to a Pitt basketball game and there was a line outside the building. The students were lined up early. There was a line outside the building, you know, at the main entrance there. I can't remember the last time that that's happened. Then you go into the building. I'm looking around, and yeah, there was a lot of Duke fans there, but still, I'm looking around, and there's not a single seat that I could see that was empty. It was like the sixth or seventh largest crowd in the history of the Peterson Event Center. The atmosphere, the noise, the cheering, all of that stuff. Does Duke bring out the best in you? Of course they do. But last year it wasn't like this when Duke came here. I can tell you that much right now. And that just goes to show you there is some sort of revival going on among the Pitt fan base. People are slowly but surely starting to come back to the program. And I know that there's a lot of people who don't want to hear it, but in some ways, I think that maybe the best thing that might have happened to Pitt basketball is Kevin Stallings. I really do. And I think the biggest thing about it is when you had Jamie here his last 3, 4, 5 years, there was a lot of denial going on. And there was a lot of just comfortability going on. I mean, you know, when Howland and Jamie got that thing going, and, you know, Jamie's first 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it was, they were competing for championships almost every single year. They were competing for either the, you know, Big East tournament championship or the regular season or both. They were playing for NCAA tournament seeding. They were playing, you know, for every game, you know, down the stretch seemed like it mattered and meant something. But then about 2011, it just started to slip to the point where his last few years, you know, he was able to just, you know, talk about, well, you know, hey, we made the NCAA tournament. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. So to me, you know, I think that if he'd have stayed, you would still have a program where, you know, they were finishing 8th or 9th or 10th in the ACC, slopping together enough wins and, you know, tricking the RPI or whatever that it was, the new net index ratings or whatever the hell Ken Palmer, whatever the you know metric is this year they're going by. It changes everybody. Every 2 or 3 years they come up with some new metric that's supposed to be the magic formula. And that's until somebody finds a flaw in it and says, well, really, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, Jamie was always good at finding ways to sort of fool whatever the metric was, usually the RPI back then. They'd win one or two games, like, you know, they might beat a Notre Dame team that's ranked and, you know, beat Syracuse that's ranked, and that might, you know, they play some, you know, tournament at Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center against another Power 5 team. They'd win just enough to get to, you know, and they'd be an 8 seed, 9 seed, 10 seed, which there's nothing wrong with that. But they were never going to be better. I'm convinced they were never going to be better again. They were never going to get back to having an opportunity to compete. And I think what sometimes you need to happen, you need the bottom to really fall out. You need to hit rock bottom a little bit before you're really awoke and realize we better get serious. We're nowhere close to where we were 8 to 10 years ago. And I think that's really, you know, what you bring a guy like Capel in. You, you know, really support him in a way that he needs to be supported. You support the program with the budget that you give him. You support the program, you know, in every single way that you possibly can as an athletic department. You know, the video and graphics people and all of those people that have put together the presentation, I'm pretty impressed, to be honest. All of it has changed. And you know what? I ain't the demographic that they're trying to – that they're trying to, you know, impress. A lot of that is to impress 17, 18-year-old kids that are going to come through on recruiting trips. A lot of that noise and rap music and all those other stuff and crazy videos and that stuff, you know, that's what it really what it's about. And they're doing a good job. They're putting on, you know, it's like they've decided they're going to put their best foot forward now. Because they understand they've got to, you know, what they need to do to get off the mat, so to speak. So to me, I think they are on their way. Are they there yet? No, they're not anywhere close. And that's why, you know, as the game progressed, obviously the atmosphere died down because, well, let's face it, the atmosphere died down because the, you know, Duke really was never in danger of losing the game. I mean, you know, Pitt competes. They play hard. They compete. They competed till the end of the game, but they were never really competitive in the game. And there's a difference. You know, competing is going out there and just giving everything you possibly have, scratching and clawing, playing defense, you know, trying to get every single loose ball, doing all those kinds of things. They competed, but they were never, ever really competitive in that game after about the first 10 minutes. So I think that, you know, they've got a long way to go, but I'll tell you, it was really pretty cool being there. It was pretty cool, if you ask me. Being down there, seeing it, and, you know, just sort of experiencing it like, boy, this is what it used to be like here, and this is what it can be like again. You have a chance now with a guy like Jeff Capel. You have a chance to maybe build a program that once again competes. You know, so a game like last night's game isn't just about the atmosphere and the crowd and the spectacle, but it's also a meaningful game, one that Pitt has a chance to win, one that the entire, you know, nation is watching. And you can sit here and say, oh, well, you know, that's pie in the sky stuff, really, because I remember Pitt basketball when the Peterson Event Center opened. They played those games regularly. Pitt UConn, Pitt Syracuse, Pitt Louisville, Pitt-Notre Dame games, Pitt-Villanova. These were games that were nationally relevant. Pitt can get back there again. I really believe that. But, you know, the first thing that Jeff Capel needed to do is get people really interested in the program again, and I think he did. People are at least somewhat interested again. Now they're starting to peek around. Now they're starting to come around a little bit. 412-928-9370.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.